Thank you for spending another midweek moment with the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers. I'm Paul Roseski. Today's Wednesday, May 7th, 2025, and it is a great time to be in Wisconsin. We've strung together a couple of days of nice weather, and there is plenty of things to do right now. If you're not in the yard, you can be at a racetrack, at a farmer's market, at festivals. Fishing season is open. So are a lot of the trails and parks. There are also quite a few wine walks and fun runs and that sort of stuff that's going to come up on Saturday, because that's also National Small Business Day. So lots of towns, they're out there trying to get people out and about. This Sunday, whether you celebrate Mother's Day, National Dog Moms Day, Mother Ocean Day, or Birth Moms Day, however you celebrate, please celebrate responsibly. There's been a lot going on in Madison also with budgets and bills, and I have a quote from the inventor of the glass harmonica. So what do you say? Let's jump into some news together. Let's start with a quick update on the state budget. This week, the Joint Finance Committee released all the provisions in the governor's proposed budget that they will be removing. Lots of things we've seen before, like marijuana legalization and expanding Medicare, but also some of the new ideas taken out are things like the new income tax bracket of 9.8% for people earning $1 million and up, the Office of Crime Prevention, a film production tax credit, and a research credit for nuclear power, just to name a few on the pretty long list. That last one is a good example of the ideas that are already being worked on in the legislature and not going to be put through the budget. The two nuclear energy bills that passed out of committee this week include one to study where the best options are going to be to expand nuclear in Wisconsin, new sites or existing sites, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, back to the budget. The committee is expected to meet and officially vote on the list of items to remove on Thursday. Also worth noting, so far, they've really been on schedule with the budget process in spite of the legislative session starting kind of slow this year. The budget hearings, the removal of provisions, so far the timeline has really been the same as last year. In a few weeks, we will get the next estimates of the tax collections and the possible surplus, so the committee will know what they have to work with in making the budget. In other news, and on a side note, two of the things that didn't get removed from the budget were two proposals for license plates, one of them being a black license plate with the white lettering, kind of like we see with the Road America license plates right now. And number two was a license plate that is a throwback, the old school yellow Wisconsin license plate with black lettering. That one might be kind of amusing. On that note, and in other news, let's also take a minute to clue you in on a very important term in the budget. Today's budget vocabulary term is cost to continue. The cost to continue is a dollar amount that tells us how much more it will cost just to keep a thing running with no changes. Here's an example. By law, there's some wages in government that automatically go up a few percent, and the Fiscal Bureau will give the committee those numbers so they can know what the total number will look like. One of the widespread concerns is the cost to continue for Medicaid. In Wisconsin, also called Badger Care, the cost to continue the health coverage will add $1.1 billion to the budget. That is a noticeable chunk of the $4.3 billion of surplus that Wisconsin is expected to have. If you take that dollar amount plus a potential tax cut, there isn't going to be much of anything left to do anything other than what we've already done. This is going to be interesting, and it might be a little bit lean in the budget this year. In other news, one of the recurring themes at each of the four budget listening sessions throughout Wisconsin was a call to support the arts in the upcoming budget, and especially the most active topic was supporting and promoting the movie industry in Wisconsin. That same provision that is getting cut from Governor Evers' budget. Before we get back to that, did you know that Wisconsin is one of just five states that don't have a state-level film office or film commission? Did you also know that in the U.S., we got 40 states that offer film production incentives, and Wisconsin ain't one? Part of me is happy that we don't have an additional office layer of bureaucracy and administration in our state government, but the overall economic benefit, if they do a good job bringing these types of projects into the state, would be a net positive. The trick is whether they'd be good enough to attract big projects to make it worthwhile. If the benefit ends up being overwhelmingly benefiting the people that would already be doing this work here anyway, maybe the incentives can exist, but without the government office. If they do decide to go that route, it's an option. Accountability to make sure they're producing. Another key is that the film production tax credit bill that is going through the legislature and not through the budget is another example of budget being used to set spending and not create a new policy or office. I think the license plate are a little different because it's not creating this idea of license plate. It's just telling the DOT, you're going to have to do these other couple things too. Maybe it's a fine line, but that's the way this is working. And finally, let's dig back into our good old trusty, you can't make this stuff up file. This is a story I stashed away back in February. Now, we've all heard the phrase, good enough for government work. Well, here's a contractor that couldn't even live up to that sarcastically low bar. Back on February 5th, the city of Franklin filed a lawsuit against the company they hired to act as the city's assessor. They brought on a company called Accurate Appraisal in 2022. Well, when the city's reassessment year came up this year, things quickly deteriorated. Some residents were getting reassessments with basements that didn't exist and other very random, incorrect information. Their lawsuit says they didn't maintain or collect property data, which would be kind of the basis of making any assessment or reassessment, so that's pretty crazy. They say that they lost sketches and drawings and a bunch of information that would have helped with the reassessments. So they've lost information there actually. And they didn't do required field inspections for the reassessments. Then, when the residents got wacky assessments and called the company to complain, the company made the changes just the way they were requested without asking the resident to at least prove their claim, and they definitely, like we've heard, didn't go see it themselves. They just made the adjustment. It was such a mess that the city had to start from scratch and will probably be getting damages from Accurate Appraisal's insurance company. I've talked to plenty of members that have had questions about their property tax increases and their reassessments. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have very justful reasons to be upset, but it's a good reminder that even if your property taxes went up 116% over prior year, like we've been seeing, it still could always be worse. And finally, I leave you with a quote from the inventor of the glass harmonica, none other than Benjamin Franklin, who said, "We constantly change the world by even our inaction. Therefore, let us change it responsibly." Have a great second half of your week, and as always, thanks for listening. Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Inc. is a nonpartisan membership organization consisting of thousands of small business, farm, and homeowner members in every outdoors loving corner of the state. Founded in 1985, the organization is committed to providing its members with up-to-date information, legislative advocacy, and exclusive cost-saving benefits. Find out how to join at wptonline.org/join.